Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? We had a good time over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph last week as we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And we started off talking about the lies that go on within the relationship. And it will cause the relationship to die. Yeah, we don't want that. So we decided to give you a little advice. So we talked about when you say that you're available, but you're not legally available. Oh, my. Now, you know, we can't be getting all caught up in the lie, telling people that you're available, but ultimately you're not available. You're married or you're legally separated. That means that legally you're not available. Oh my. What about you being available, but you're not emotionally available? Yes, that's a lie too, and it could cause your relationship ultimate death. Oh my goodness. Let's see one more. Money issues. Oh, we know you got to get those money issues together. And the fact that you may or may not want children. Yeah, you're going to have to come up with that one. You can't hold on to that. I'm sorry. No. That has taken a relationship down, pretending like you really don't want kids because he or she don't want, or you really do and you're pretending that you don't. Oh, see, we don't want that to happen, right? All right. Well, keep up the truth. Be honest, and you will see that your relationship will stand a better chance of survival. Okay. Well, we could not finish off our Monday without having to switch the tip with Shanti. And follow the leader is the advice we were given. Oh, yeah. See, go back. See, it always somehow coincides with the conversation. And you got to be honest. Follow the leader. God is about honesty. And he has never lied or is like man that could tell a lie or change his mind. So don't you want to pattern yourself behind that? Yes. So follow the leader. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus never lied either. Was a man of his word, did exactly what he said, and has ever since. So Okay, so we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful set of examples before us in our leaders of this world, in our creators, and we need to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. Okay? All righty. So, we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. And what did we talk about? Well, Tuesday, and we had our conversation with our pastoral team, and we kind of had a little help on Tuesday. And we talked about the lies the devil tells us. Yes, the lies the devil tells us. You know, how about a little overspending ain't going to hurt you? You know, many people have gone to the poorhouse thinking that they don't have to tithe, or if they just took and did whatever they wanted to do with their money, that they could actually be all right. No, you're not going to be all right when you're not being a good steward over the money that God has given you. Okay? What else? You can say whatever you think. Nah, that ain't happening. Not with whatever you think. No. So a man thinketh, so is he. And we know that a man's ways seem right in his own eyes. So we can't say whatever we think, because if it's not on point, it can destroy a many. What about the fact that we say what we think and it's not the truth? How many people are we causing to stumble? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we also talked about the fact that the enemy tells you that the righteousness isn't as important as it used to be. Now, you know that's not the truth. As a matter of fact, it's even more important, because this world is really a hot mess. Yep. So you want to make sure that you stick to the righteousness department. Okay? Okay. All righty. So make sure you do whatever you need to do to follow God's word. Okay? All righty. So we ended up at what other than? Wow, Wednesday, yes. And we started off with our girlfriend, Viv, telling us that we did get a slight decline in the COVID numbers in Florida. And, 6,000 plus, that ain't that bad. So hopefully we're on a nice, good trend out there in Florida. Oh, we unfortunately talked about, you know, she gave us that story, the 18-year-old teen mom who got 9 years in prison because she decided to go out celebrating her birthday and left the baby in the house, 20-month-old, and she ended up dying for 6 days. Yeah, she didn't stand a chance of living. And we really got to pray for our young people, because if you thought that that was a plan, if you thought that that was fine, then something is really wrong. Oh, my goodness gracious, what is going on in this world? Well, we did have our women of worship in the house, and they gave some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful advice, some Christian advice. And what we did was we allowed them to fill in the blank however they felt, and God led them. Let's say God led them to deliver the word to us. And one of the things was, stop pretending to be someone you are not. You know, that is always a pitfall. You know, God designed us to be whoever we were supposed to be, not be whoever we wanted to be. Yeah? Okay. So we got to make sure that we can't pretend. No. They also told us, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with. And, you know, the best part about letting them fill in the blanks was God delivered a powerful word to each of them regarding the same topic. Yes. So, you know, we really got a whole mouthful. And, man, it was powerful, I might say. And we had our techie talk with Dwayne, and last but not least, we could not close down our Wednesday properly if we did not have Pastor Shaulin with our Faith Over Fear segment. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got our It's My Wedding Day. The wedding wars took place, and I gotta tell you, bridezilla was an understatement for some of these women and people involved in these wedding stories. And if you think you've seen or heard some wedding stories that were out of this world, I'm sorry, you have heard nothing. And I mean nothing. All righty? Nothing. So you want to definitely, you want some entertainment? Oh, you got some entertainment. But best, you know, you got a word from the Due Time crew. That was, you know, some Christian advice again. You know, how you should handle it. What was wrong with the way these people were thinking? And the best part about doing stuff like this, you know, I'll rip from the headlines is, you know, these are true stories. These are real stories that, you know, hit the news. And, you know, these are things that people really go through. So it gives God an opportunity to speak through us, the Due Time crew, and let you know how these things should really be handled. Okay? All right. Freestyle Friday was here before we knew it. And oh my, did we have a wonderful conversation with the men as we started talking about the R. Kelly case and all the, you know, little tidbits that, you know, have been coming out via the news. And then we got some Christian advice from our Due Time crew men. Yes, the men of warfare. They were in the house and they sent us on a wonderful weekend of advice as we talked about never forget that your Creator sent his son. Yes, we played fill in the blanks, and each of those gentlemen gave you a word from the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. What about the one who hung the stars? Oh, I like that one. That one really gave an opportunity to spread your wings and really get a word in from the Lord. And look at your hands. You know, are you really using your hands for what God made them for? I'm wondering if you really have been using your hands. Oh, well, you'll want to go back and listen to last week's broadcast, Monday through Friday, because as you just heard, oh, there was something special in each and every day. And I'm sure this week, God spares our life, we're not going to be short of a word either. No. God always delivers big time here on His Due Time. Okay? So, today, it's Monday and we're back to shaking the Monday morning blues together. Oh, can you believe it's already Monday? Where did the weekend go? Oh, it went by too fast. That's exactly where it went. And, oh, man. But nonetheless, we're grateful to God for waking us up today because He didn't have to do it. Come on, come on, come on. Say it with me. But He did. See, I knew you knew it. Oh, how grateful we should be instead of, bluesy. So that's why God sent us, the Due Time Crew, to help you shake the Monday morning blues. You know, God never said that you would not get bluesy. Yeah, so I don't know what preacher or pastor is telling you that you ain't got no business being bluesy at all, because we do know that it happens sometimes. But what we do caution you, or what we should caution you, is why are you bluesy? Is it something that you're just not paying attention to, that you're bluesy about, but yet God has blessed you with? Oh, did somebody make you mad, and it's something that God has already prepped you for to be able to get over? Oh, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about getting over the Monday morning blues. And just in case you just forgot the reminder that you got last week, yesterday, 5 minutes ago, it's okay, because we're here. We're here to help you shake that Monday morning blues. Yes, Pastor Steph and the Due Time Crew. And we are going to have a ball today. How do I know? Because I know, because I know that's how I'm feeling today. And let me tell you something. The Due Time Crew never lets you down. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Only God could assemble a cast like this one. Yes. And we're going to have the topper of the morning. So, listen, we've got some stuff to go over this morning. Okay, get them pens out. Yes, get the pens out. I got just a little bit for you. And it's going to be appropriate to today's theme. Yes, that's what we're going to say. It's going to be appropriate to today's theme. I'm feeling really good today. I woke up kind of tired and feeling like, oh, man, I didn't get enough sleep. But you know what? Now that I'm up, oh, I'm shaking that off, and I'm feeling good. So it's my job. God has assigned me to help you feel better. So let's feel better together. So come on, come on, come on. Get up. Shake, 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 shake. Get that bluesy feeling done. Reach for that healthy breakfast. Where's that pomegranate juice? That's why you're feeling bluesy, because you didn't have that pomegranate juice. Pomegranate juice, get that oatmeal, get them fiber foods to help that inside move a little better than it was moving. What about that sardine? Yes, that sardine. Those cans of sardines, that's going to help you fight those diabetes, that's going to help you feel bluesy. See, that's what I told you. It's not if you're feeling bluesy. It's why you're feeling bluesy. Yes, so God has a remedy for everything. And we're about to discuss a few more. And I'm glad to have you with me today. Thank you and thank God for sending you here. And I'm hoping that you're listening to us live, because it's always best live. Because you can always join the conversation. Yes, I invite you to join the conversation, 347-285-7777, if you have a thought going forward. All right? Okay. So come on, come on, come on. Let's get ourselves together, and let's shake the Monday morning blues. I'll be right back.
When you look at me, you might see my tremor.
My lack of facial expression.
A person with Parkinson's disease.
But you may not see
that I have trouble sleeping.
That no two treatment plans are the same.
I was diagnosed at 65.
37. Earlier than most.
But if you look closer,
you'll see
a warrior mom.
An endurance athlete.
Someone who is still dancing.
Someone with a lot of fight.
Every 9 minutes. Someone is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
And every one of them can turn to the American Parkinson Disease Association for education.
For community.
For support.
Look closer.
And you'll see.
My resolve.
My determination. My spirit.
Is unshakable.
Visit APDAParkinson.org to learn more and show your support today.
Thank you.
Good morning to you, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. It's Monday morning, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes, you're not left alone. God never leaves you alone, and we are just the example, an example that God doesn't leave you alone. Yes. You didn't have to worry about getting up this morning and handling it and doing it by yourself, you know. And that says a lot for when people say, you know, that's why I don't like to ask people for anything. You know, as long as God gives you breath, you're going to need somebody. And more than likely, it's not going to be the person that you want. Should I say ooh behind that one? Ah, yes. So we're here to help you shake the Monday morning blues together. And we're going to start off by getting those pens out. Yes. Come on, get them pens up. Because we're going to discuss the worst foods for your mood. Yes. See, I told you it would be appropriate for today's theme. We're shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes. So we're going to talk about the foods that you should not eat if you want your mood to stay on point. Okay. We're going to find foods to better our mood, and we're going to first discuss the bad foods. Okay, well, we got those highly processed foods. That's number one. Okay, listen, you really, 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 really should not handle those highly processed foods. Yeah, they're not good. We've been hearing that they're not good. Yes. They don't do good for your body, okay? They can have a negative impact on your gut. And remember, on your blood pressure, your sugar. Yes, those highly processed foods. They're talking about foods such as candy bars, fast foods, packaged snacks, things with added sugar, added fats, preservatives. Yes, yes, yes. We've talked about this many a time. Yes, we've talked about this many a time and how that food is just generally not good for you. And if you go back to last week's conversation, we talked about, the food that causes inflammation and how inflammation inside of your body affects the outside of your body. And once that's affected, now you got pimples and psoriasis and eczema and all other kinds of skin conditions. And of course those things are going to affect your mood. Yeah. It's 90 degrees outside and your leg is itching like crazy. Your arm is itching. Your neck is hot and itching and rashy and burning. Yeah. That's going to affect your mood. Alrighty? Alright now. That's number one. Number two, those sugar-sweetened beverages. Yes. Come on, we know the soda. Yes, and we're going to include the energy drinks, the sports drinks. Yes. I'm sorry, just because it might be good for you, so they say. It's high with sugar, okay? And they say that what happens is it makes your blood glucose shoot up at first, and then a lot of times it plummets. And once it plummets, now you're all lethargic and, you know, you ain't feeling that well because you're tired, and now you're cranky. Yeah, okay. So listen, remember they also said that a lot of sugar can cause you kind of mental fog. Yes. Now, you know you cranky when you got mental fog. Mm-hmm. Because you can't even think straight. So, you become bluesy. Who wants to walk around like that? Okay. All right. Number three, alcoholic beverage. Yes, first of all, we automatically know that, you know, God does not want alcohol in the temple. Yes, that body that God has given us, he does not want that in our body. And what do you think is going to happen? It's an intoxicant. And then when you wake up with a hangover, what happens? Or let's talk about when you've been drinking and all of a sudden, let's talk about this one. Yeah, I know it ain't Let's Talk About Tuesday, but we're talking about shaking the Monday morning blues and doing things that's going to, and eating, ingesting things that's going to cause you to be moody. Okay, so two things happen when you drink. Now, as a person who has never drank, I have had a clear view of what happens to the drinkers. Now, you talk about being bluesy. What happens when you drink, and now that's the truth serum? Oh, my goodness gracious. Now you're telling the truth about everything. Come on, Pastor Shaw, and I hear you laughing in the background. Come on, come on, come on. I hear you laughing in the background. Yes. Because you know it's the truth. You drinking, and now you decide you're going to tell the truth about something, and now that made somebody mad, and now you got issues. Because now you done brought up something or stirred up something, and now what's going to happen? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you done upset the whole atmosphere because you drank, and now you got to tell the truth. All right, so let's talk about the other one. The other one is when you start drinking and then you get depressed and you start crying and because you started thinking about all of these different things. Oh, that used to make me so annoyed. I'm like, why? See, that's why you need to drink. Yeah, and like I said, quite a few times it was kind of like one of the very few ones in the room that had not had anything to drink. Oh, brother. Yeah, that ain't the best thing that happens. So listen, stay away from the alcohol. Okay? All right. Well, they say number four, do not eat the foods that you have an intolerance to. Yes. If you know these foods make you ill, uncomfortable, or sick, why eat it? Yes. Because now it's going to change your whole mindset, mood. Yes, you're going to be all messed up. I know if I eat an egg, my day ain't the same. You talk about shaking the Monday morning blues. I ain't shaking the Monday morning blues. I'm shaking a whole lot of other stuff. So we can't eat the stuff that's going to cause us to be ill or we're going to have a reaction to. Okay? You know, have you ever seen somebody who had like an intolerance to something and they're like, I'm just going to eat it anyway. I'll just suffer the consequences later. Well, clearly the consequences aren't deep enough, because if so, they would not be eating it, but it definitely will change their mood. Yeah, they hadn't anticipated that one. All righty. And they say refined grain products. Okay. Now, let me see what they're explaining here. Hold on, let me see what's going on here. I want to help to make sure that you don't have to go and look. Okay. They say it's almost the opposite of whole grain food. Yes. They are saying that, I want to make sure I read this properly because I want to give you, okay, let me just read it to you. They say bread can absolutely be part of a healthy diet if you choose the right kind of bread. They say grains are made up of three parts, the bran, which is the fiber-filled part, the germ, and the endosperm, which is the starchy part. And they say while whole wheat breads include all three parts, refined grains like a plain bagel or white sandwich bread, that's what they're talking about, that white food. Yes. That's going to, remember, go back to the sugar. Okay, so it was just too much to read and be quiet, so I decided to read it to you. So you got a little education of the three parts. All righty. So to stay away from the white stuff, the white starchy food, the breads, the bagels, the rice, the white rice. Yes, because all that stuff breaks down into sugar, and we've already gotten finished talking about the sugar part. Yes, okay. It spikes your blood sugar level. And then a lot of times when it plummets, then it sends you into the other side of it. So you got to make sure you eat properly. And that will keep your mood in the right place to be. Okay? So we won't be shaking the Monday morning blues every day. Okay? Again, it's not that we're shaking the, we have the Monday morning blues. It's why. You know, did someone pass away and you're a little bluesy? You know, did something happen at the job? You lost your job, you know, and you kind of, you know, got that little jolt of, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do type of thing? And, you know, you haven't gotten to that faith point, you know, that faith thought yet. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. We're not talking about you locked up for quarantine. No. Too many things to do. Way too many things to do. So we're not talking about that. Okay? So that's, you're not allowed to be bluesy for more than 5 minutes when it comes to that. Okay? All right. Well, I got some news for you. All right? Now, last week, we talked about the woman who hired the maid in Singapore, and she treated her so badly. Remember? Yes, she, you know, would, you know, made her get naked, and she didn't care that the husband walked in and all that kind of nasty stuff that she did to the woman. You know, here's the thing that I always talk about, and we have seen. And this is growth. So, you know, if you can't stand it, put the phone down for about 4 minutes, you know, in case the conversation takes a little longer than you think, because this is on the growth side. But I keep saying to people, especially when we're, like, watching movies and stuff, and I said, you know, how long do you think someone is going to continue to take your nonsense? How long? You have to be real careful about how you treat people, because that stuff, people are not going to continue to be pushed around. Well, here is a definite indication. The caption reads, "The maid is accused of mixing her cycle and urine into the employer's food." Yes. And this is like a real simple story, but it's really kind of up in the air. So Ms. Canares, who's a 44 Filipina woman, she's being charged with mixing her cycle and urine into her employer's food because her ex-boyfriend called the employer and told him that. Yeah, the employer says that he got, like, late one night, he got a number from an unknown, it was an unknown number, but a picture came up. And I don't know, I guess they got, like, these special phones. I don't know what's going on, because mine ain't got it. Well, you can have those, you know, the caller ID thing on your phone. Yeah. Well, he had that, and he came up with a picture, and it was the ex-boyfriend. And the maid was, you know, living there. Everything was going fine. And he told them that this is what she had done. So he then sent text messages behind it. And instead of them going to her, they ended up going to the cops, and they made this claim, and they ended up, like, arresting her. And the thing about it is, the article that I'm reading, it doesn't say that they were ever in any bad, you know, there was any bad blood between her and the employer. And they said that they asked her, you know, hey, have you ever done it? And initially, she said yes, and she was sorry. She kept apologizing, And then later on, they asked her again, and she wouldn't give them any details, you know, so she kind of retracted the statement and said that, you know, she didn't do it. And they never got really to the heads or tails of it, okay? And they said that they can't go back to the boyfriend because he died. He died of cancer. And he can't answer no questions. And like I said, they never said that there was any bad blood, that that she had had any problems, but she had told the ex-boyfriend that while they were together, that she had done this. So they're going through this trial now, and if she's convicted, it's mischief. That's what they're calling it. That's the charge. And she can get up to two years in jail or fined or both. And the reason why I say this is because we just got finished talking about, you know, the employer who was really nasty. And I look at these things and I say to myself, do y'all really think that people are not going to respond or retaliate? Or, you know, yes, God says vengeance is mine, but, you know, sometimes people just feel like they got to defend themselves. And I don't know, but this is what she claimed she was doing to the family. Now, what made her tell the boyfriend this? And she kept saying, you know, that it wasn't the truth, that he lied. And, but why would you then say you did it? And that they said she just kept profusely apologizing. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And this is supposed to be like this man who has a lot of money. It's so much that they are protecting his name and his family. So they don't even have, like, who it is in the newspapers or, yeah, in the records or whatever. Yeah, they're not, it's not like John Smith. She did this, no. He's some big wig, and they are protecting him, and they've got a gag order out that nobody can say who this is. But let me help you with something. If you are treating someone badly, you better remember that as long as they ain't dead, oh, they can retaliate. Now, it may not be something that God may want us to do, but man, I'm telling you, be careful of how you treat people. Okay? Be careful. Be careful. Because, see, you may be dealing with a person that don't know Jesus. And, see, they don't know how to go and pray that thing off. And they just thinking about how they could get back. And everybody's not going to get back at you loudly. Yes. People are silent. See, I just go pray to God about you. Because, you know, my enemies are God's enemies. That's the way I think. But again, you may get somebody, you know, who is like, oh, yeah? Okay. You sit right there. Yeah. Be careful. Be careful. And make sure you live a life according to God, because, you know, listen, here's my thing. God can let it happen. Now, that's the other thing. You know, I always, you know what, people always talk about, well, the enemy. I always think the opposite side. I'm like, well, you know what? God didn't stop that from happening. You know, we always point the finger. I'm not saying point the finger at God, but what I'm saying is that the enemy can't do anything that God does not allow him to do. So, I'm thinking that maybe some of God's vengeance is allowing that stuff to happen. Hey, you never know. We don't know the mind of God. So, listen, when you think about treating people badly, think about, listen, we always say, and Shantice and Minister AJ have talked about it on here. We always talk about, don't make the people who got to serve your food mad. No. You know, I've had to remind my sister, hey, they're serving our food. Please don't make these people mad before it's time to write the check. So see, we know we could dispute the check. We don't know what they're going to do to our food. Okay? And they have shown, we've seen clips and things like that of how people get back at you who work in a restaurant. So be careful, people. Make sure you treat everybody nice. Not just because it's the way God wants us to treat people, but because people can have that silent revenge. And it ain't all that silent. Okay? All right. Well, the other thing I thought, you know, was kind of cute. And it's, a little news story about Marlon Wayans. We know Marlon Wayans. He's part of that huge Wayans family. He does a whole lot of stuff with his brother, Sean. Well, Marlon Wayans, he's the same age as I am. Or around the same age. And he says that, he's a little younger than I am. Well, last year, his mother was really sick, and she was on a deathbed. And he said, these were his exact words. He said, on her deathbed, he said, can I tell you something, woman? And he told her that the reason why he never got married was because I always wanted you to be my number one girl. And he said, because so often, you know, women fight to be number one in your life. And, you know, I didn't want nobody fighting against my mother. And it's sad because it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, a lot of women, you know, they don't know their place. And we're not going to say that some men don't know how to, you know, strike a balance. And because the love of your mother is one thing. Love, an intimate love, is something different. And, you know, there's a balance that sometimes we don't find as women, and sometimes we don't find as men. And sometimes men make the mess. Remember, we talked about, you know, who rides in the front seat, who rides shotgun. And yeah, sometimes you don't make the right decision. You don't put mom in her place. You don't let mom know that, you know, once you, you know, he's right. You know, once you get married, the wife becomes your number one girl. We're talking about relationships today. And yeah, you know, the wife is supposed to become your number one girl. You can't get married and mom is still your number one girl, because the Bible says otherwise. It doesn't say, you know, kick your mom to the curb, but it does say that your priorities, your attention, you know, who God has in priority order has shifted. And again, based on how he was raised and what he feels his obligation is and where his heart is, he may not know how to strike the balance. And a lot of times men make this a mess here. And, you know, Marlon Wayans said, you know what, I'm going to put everybody out there misery. and I'm going to make this decision. And, you know, last year at the age of 81, Mom passed away. And now he has that freedom now to go and choose a wife and doesn't have to, you know, worry about, you know, if the wife is going to be upset, or if, you know, he's going to make Mom upset, or, you know, or Mom is going to have to look on and see something wrong. Because, listen, all the other, he got tons of brothers. And ain't nobody, you know, all them other men, they didn't got married. Yes, he's the one who said, hey, you know, I'm not going to get married because I want Mom to be my number one girl. And, you know, the other brothers didn't do that, you know. So, and I'm not saying they're wrong. What I'm saying is, you know, she's, maybe he also watched that. You know, he's on the younger side. You know, the other, he has quite a few older brothers. You know, so, you know, maybe he also watched that and saw, you know, maybe some of the tug of war that was going on. So I thought that was nice to share today, you know, while it's, you know, Relationship Monday. Okay. All right. So I'm so glad to have you with us today. And we're going to talk to our Due Time crew. So let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I am well, thanks. I know you're doing well, and I'm so glad to have you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. And
yes, indeed.
We're talking about our news this morning, and we're talking about that sweet revenge that, you know, our employees will sometimes get. What do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. People forget about that. I was in I was in a McDonald's one time, and a young lady, she was really nice, and the guy that was in front of me, he kind of messed his order up. And he's going in on a young dude. And the girl is talking to him. She's like, but okay, I made a mistake. And he's just going in on her. And she went in the back. And I looked at him. I said, bro, I said, do you realize that she's making your food right now? And she just went in the back? Like, do you not? And he looked at me. I said, bro, you never, never piss somebody off who's making your food.
Okay.
And he was mad that he thought about that at the moment. So, yeah, you got to be careful, man. Like you said, everybody ain't got Jesus with them. So you got to be careful, especially with somebody making your food.
Yes, sir. I think people seem to forget, you know, when you're treating someone badly, you know, they have many ways of getting back at you. And the fact that they got your food in their possession just makes it a whole lot easier, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
People get in there. When they go to the Chinese restaurant and curse the poor people out, and it's people making your food. Come on,
okay.
We got special rights for you. We got special rights for you.
Absolutely, special soy sauce. Yeah, you really can't be messing around with people, and you know they really have an opportunity to, you know, they have an opening of getting back at you that you're not even thinking of. You know, and you're
right.
So busy being mean that you're not thinking of anything. So, but what about Marlon Wayans and his concept of, you know what, I didn't get married because I wanted Mom to be my number one girl. It's a really sweet thought. What do you think?
I think that was sweet, but, man, you know, that's deep right there. I never heard that. That's first time I, like, really heard that. And I guess he was like, hey, you know, I don't want no woman fighting with my mother because it's going to be a situation. But I think it all come down to the person that you marry. You know, somebody know that you're really close with your mother, and he could be a mama's boy, too, as you know. So it could be a lot of different situations that's going on with that. And I guess he felt the best way to solve all this is I ain't getting married. I don't want this going down like this.
Absolutely. And you know what? He ain't missed out on nothing.
Right, right.
You know, if he's all that calm at this point, he ain't missed out on a thing. So, you know, God bless him. God bless him. His heart is in the right place.
Yes.
But thank you so much again, Brother Al, for joining us this morning. And we'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you, Lord.
All righty now. Oh, we're talking about that thing called sweet revenge that some people get. And, you know, they forget quite often when you're being mean that people have ways of getting back at you. What are we talking about today? What's your thought?
Absolutely. I was thinking about there had been, I remember on some of the news when they were showing of what people would do in your food in the back. And because you have been nasty, you know, it's a way of saying that, you know, my food is cold or, you know, it doesn't look right. You know, anything what's wrong with it, it's just a way that you have to be able to say it. And even when you say it, sometimes it depending on who is serving your food. But the first thing I thought about was color purple. Remember when she had spit into his water and the father drunk it? So I thought about, and then they had on the news before, too, how a husband was very nasty to his wife, and this was years ago, and she took glass and she broke it up and she was giving it to him in his food. So it's not just outside. It's just it can be where that you have been abusive, you know, or people just, you know, some people are just like that. So I thought of all of those different ways that people can get you and not even knowing, you know. But the part of the one, the story which you were saying about her menstrual, there was a young lady on my job, and she was married to this guy, and she will always bring him some kind of red sauce in his food. And we never understood why. And then I found out, you know, she was from the island, and they have this thing, and she kept him close to her, and he will never look at another woman for no reason at all, and until I had to talk to him one day, and I was doing the blood testing for the people, and so I had to go to him to see if he wanted to give up, you know, some blood, and it was like she fell out of the sky. She said, don't you ever talk to him. You have anything to say, you come to me. And she used to stand by the bathroom of the man's bathroom. That's how bad she had him. And he was like, he was in this trance. And I was like, for real? I could not believe what I was seeing. And then one day he became strong enough and had his eye on this other girl. And then they got divorced. So that's kind of real. Yeah.
You know, I heard of that, Pastor Charlene. I had a great aunt. And, you know, I remember her initially telling me that. I heard it from her first, and, you know, it does circulate that, you know, this kind of stuff does go on, and, you know, I don't know if I believe it, but, you know, it's definitely something that circulated, because that was the first time I heard it. It wasn't the last time I heard it, but it was definitely the first time I heard it. But, you know, I always, going back to the domestic violence thing, I always say to men, I said, you know what, y'all are real brave that you would do these things and then go put your head on the pillow. Like, she can't do nothing. Everybody got to go to sleep. You know, you really, really, really are taking a lot of chances when you're doing stuff to people and you just assume. You know, that was my biggest issue for even Brick, because when I saw the story, I was like, But I wanted to bring it because, you know, of the story we told last, that I gave last week, from the employer and how she was so, you know, how she was treating this woman so badly. And we forget mm-hmm. that we are at the mercy of people, you know, sometimes. So, you, yeah, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. What about this Marlon Wayans, you know, how he, you know, decided he was not going to get married because he wanted mom to be the number one girl. What do you think of that?
I thought that was so sweet, too. And then I thought about it. He just ain't met the right one.
You know, hey, it just could really be a decision, you know, that he made. Again, yeah. He had older brothers. We don't know what he didn't see in this mess here with some women, you know, that just really take it to another level, you know, when they get involved with men. You know, now you got to fight mama and sisters and everybody else. So, you know, maybe he didn't meet the right woman. Maybe he did. He really just held on to little old mama. Well, unfortunately, mama's not here anymore, but he can move forward, you know, and now yes. find him a really, really nice woman, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, really sharing her with anybody. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, thank you so much Absolutely. For joining us, Pastor Charlotte, and we're going to continue our conversation with Lady Tamika here. Where'd she go? There she is. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning, and how are you this morning?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing A-okay. Looking out at this rain, it just sounds so beautiful, peaceful.
Oh, it sure does. I got to agree with you. Oh, we're talking about that thing where people consider it sweet revenge. You know, God says that vengeance is mine, but, oh, everybody ain't thinking like that. Oh, employers got to be real careful. What do you think?
It kind of reminds me of there was my roommate. Back in the past, I remember when I lived in Georgia, I actually had a male roommate, but we used to go out to eat. We would do like once a week, we would go and get something to eat. And he was just one of those people that it just seemed like you never did his food right. And like the first couple of times that we went out to eat, I noticed it and I kind of like disregarded it. But then after a while, it started to get really bad. Like he would ask for something and the person would bring it. And then he's like, no, that's not what I want. And they would bring it back. And then, no, that's not what I want. And I got to the point where it was just like, I can't go eat out with you because it's just too much. I said, because anytime that there's an issue, if I'm with you, then I get the brunt of that as well. Because I remember one time my food wasn't, it wasn't hot. It was kind of cool when I got it, and I guess they were trying to bring the food at the same time, but my food was cold, you know, and he was complaining about his food, and, you know, I said, well, my food is a little cool, you know, and the lady was like, well, do you want me to take that back? I said, no, ma'am, nope, I'm just going to eat this right here tonight. In a couple of minutes, he was going to find something else, and I said, oh, no, and I used to say to him, you have to understand that people don't take that lightly. I mean, you know, you do it one time, okay, fine. You know, there's something wrong with the food, got it. You know, but to bring the person back and forth, and, you know, it reminded me of the movie The Help. You know, hopefully you saw that scene, but there's a scene in there where she kind of, the maid puts feces in the cake, you know, and she tells the lady that she's working for, eat my cake, you know, and the lady didn't realize that she read a book that had all the details and everything. She was like, oh, my God. And she's like, oh, this cake is so good. Oh, my God, it's so delicious. And she's reading the book and realizes, oh, the cake is filled with a little something extra, an extra ingredient. You know, and when you live in an environment with somebody, you got to be super, super careful that, you know, that those things are not happening. I don't care if they're a maid, you know, family member, spouse. You have to be oh so very careful.
Yeah, especially if you're not treating the people right. You know, and that's really the point I'm trying to make. Not that people just arbitrarily do this stuff, but under the premise of you're not treating people right. And for you, that's why when we were talking about the story last week of how bad the woman was treating, you know, the maid. I'm thinking to myself, and you went to sleep every day and you really thought it was okay that this woman was never gonna do anything? You know, you could have been waking up and her brothers and friends could have been there to beat your brains in. You know, you take a lot of chance when you, you know, really do people wrong and you really don't think they're going to respond. Stop thinking that people are going to take your nonsense. So that's really the premise of, you know, what this conversation is about, just to get people doing responding to the way you treat them. So like you said, you know, you don't want to be passing your food back and forth to people for no reason, because those servers know when you're just not the pleasing type. They ain't dumb. They're not dumb. They're not dumb at all. Good point. Good point. Good point. You really, I ain't sending my food back with you either. No, thank you. I'll eat it cold. Marlon Wayans. You know, a man who says, hey, mom is going to be the number one girl. And you know what? I ain't missing out on nothing because I'm going to treat her just as so. What do you think?
You know, the mindset of, you know, having a tribute to your parent. I get that. That's a beautiful thing. However, you know, you also have to realize you're engaging in relationships with, you know, women, and their mindset might be to get married. And so you're kind of putting them on hold. And I think in that sense, it's unfair to the individual. Maybe the people that you or the women that you've been involving yourself with have been that type, you know. If you find the real good woman that God has planned for you, she'll be in line. You know, she won't, you know, cause an issue between you and your mother. And I think, honestly, you know, it's already been said that he just didn't find the right one.
Well, maybe he wasn't looking for her. If he already has his mind set,
mm-hmm.
Right, if he already has his mind set that, listen, I'm not going to do this, and like I said, it could be for what he's seen. I mean, you ain't going to come up with that for nothing. You know what I'm saying? That ain't coming from nowhere. And he may have seen enough,
right.
Because you know what? And been honest with the woman he's dated to say, listen, I'm not going to, you know, settle down with anybody because mom's going to be number one. And, you know, what would happen with you if someone told you that?
Well, I mean, you have to, as the person receiving that information, you have to decide, is this what I want? You know, not that you're sitting there waiting for mom to die. However, you know, the mindset is, okay, mom is first, you know, and I you know, in my former life when I was married, I honored my husband's mother. She was, you know, whatever she wanted, you know, when she came into town, you know, we did whatever it is for mom, you know, when it came to getting in the car, I offered her the front seat. She denied, but I always tried my best to honor her for the place that she was, because if it hadn't been for her, you know, I wouldn't have her son, et cetera. You know, so again, you know, if you've got the right woman, you have to decide what it is that you want. If you want to engage in a relationship with someone who says mom is first and he's not thinking about marriage, then that's up to you. That's what you want to do. But understand that mom might be around for, you know, 80, 90 years and you're still there. That's up to you.
And actually, that's what happened. Mom just passed away last year at the age of 81. So she lived a nice life, you know, here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like you said, you know, that's, you have to really make that decision that, you know what, okay, you know, we're going to, or maybe what you could do is do what you did and show, you know, listen, there wouldn't be any competition between me and your mom, you know what I'm saying? And maybe after he sees mm-hmm. that, then he, you know, if he had a woman like what you just described, you know, then he'd want to, you know, say, you know, I'll take that leap with mom still here because mom would want to see me married and happy. So, you know, yeah, you know, there's many ways this could go. So God bless you and how you treated mom. And unfortunately, we don't have enough of those around because, oh, my goodness, we really have issues. So, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ before we get into our conversation. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Yiggity-yang, yiggity-yang-yang.
Ah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Glad you're back from your counseling session. And we're talking about that thing called revenge. You know, hey, you know, people really take, you know, for granted that they are going to continue to bully people or mistreat people or disregard feelings. And people are not going to respond in any manner. What's your thought?
My thought is people are losing their mind. If you think people are going to keep taking your nonsense, and especially in the service industry, and they're not going to retaliate, you're bugging. You are bugging. I see stuff on a normal basis. I see stuff sometimes that workers do when they ain't even trying to get at nobody. And I say to myself, if I come here to eat on my day off, you can never serve me. So ain't no way in the world.
Wow.
Anybody. And that's real.
Wow.
I've watched them on a couple basis. Some of them is just nasty, period. And then you want to piss them off? That's not the way to go. Definitely not. Yeah.
Wow. All right, people, you heard it. You know, we always periodically go through the Shantice and Minister AJ conversation. You heard it first. You don't want to make them mad. Minister AJ, you know, Marlon Wayans says, hey, I'm not going to get married because I want mom to be my number one girl. And if it means waiting it out, then so be it. What do you think?
I think it's good on one end. Well, not really good, but it's a nice thought, a nice gesture. I don't know what to say, but yeah, but it's really weird though. It's a little weird to me because, I mean, it's not like you're not dealing with any other women. You're still dealing with these women. So I can only imagine how they feel. They must feel strung along or used and abused because you're dealing with them, but then they can never be, you know, but you're never going to settle down. Then what's the point? You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay. That's the way I look at it. I know that after a while they have to feel used and abused, you know, or, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm pretty sure they're aiding you and helping you in some type of way, or they're there for you, but then they're never going to have that commitment because you know what I mean? Because of mom. I mean, it's a little weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're also forgetting that the times have changed where a lot of women are not what they used to be. They are fine with this kind of situation, with this setup. They're fine. The women of these days, if you let them know what's going on, we just had a conversation this weekend. You know, if you let them know what's going on, they are right because they're going to deal with it accordingly. So if he was honest with them, you know, you're right. It's not the norm. It's not the norm because women would feel strung along and maybe not used and abused, but definitely strung along. And it's like, well, you know, I'm putting my all into this relationship, and then at the end of the day, I'm not going to be number one because mom is going to be number one. And, you know, they may have already some level of offense to that or resentment. But these days and times, these women have shifted. And a lot of them are, you let me know what I'm in for, and guess what? I'm good. I ain't got to commit to you because you're not going to make a commitment to me. So, you know, I'm just trusting that, you know, he was open and honest with the women and said, you know what, mom is going to be number one and I'm really not going to make this commitment. You know, we can date, but it won't be any, you know, lasting commitment. So let's just hope that he was, an honorable man and did the right thing and was upfront. So thank you, Minister AJ, for joining us today. We're going to continue our conversation, but we're going to do it a little differently. Last week we talked about lies, you know, lies that you tell within a relationship that would help to bring the relationship to an end. This week we're going to just talk about lies, period, just lies in the atmosphere that people tell that, you know, it's really not true. So one of the first things they say, that real love never fades. You know, we talked about relationship rumors, and I like to put this particular conversation today under the relationship rumors category. You know, is it true that real love never fades? Brother Al, does real love, is that true? Real love never fades?
I think that's true. You know, if you are truly in love with someone, you know, you find ways to keep that spice going, you know, because you love being around a person. You enjoy the person. You enjoy seeing the person happy. So, you know, you do different things to keep that love going. You know, some people get people and, when I got you, I ain't doing this no more. I ain't doing that no more. I got you, so I don't have to do that no more. So I believe that, yeah, it never fades if you keep it going.
Okay. Before we go any further, let me invite our listeners to, you know, join the conversation, 347-285-7777. You know, send Shantice your comment, and she will get to us and let us know that you have something to say, okay? Pastor Charlotte, is it true? Real love never fades?
It can be true long as you both are working at it and being able to, besides pleasing yourself, of being able to please them, and which meaning of having that conversation of these are the things that I like, and keep that fire burning, you know, and of being able to be there for them, and being able to also knowing what they like on both ends, and doing like surprises, just like Brother Al just said, you know, you gotta continue to keep it going. Keep that fire rolling, and then it can work. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be peachy cream all the time, but it can. Because even in your bad times, your good days will outweigh your bad.
All righty. Lady Tamika, is it true real love never fades?
I would be inclined to agree that it doesn't. I think it's also an effort on both parties to continue to make it work. I think that at times emotions can cause us to veer off, but when you genuinely love someone, even with what they do to you, your emotion, that love still does reside. And you have to work every day. You know, some days you get up and, you know, you're having a conversation and it may not necessarily go right. However, it doesn't change the fact that you love that individual. And as previously stated, we have to work to make it, you know, make it continue.
All righty. And Minister AJ, is it true real love never fades?
I'm going to go with definitely true on that. Like everybody has already stated, you know, it's what you make it, you know. If you work at it, yes, you know, if that's your agenda for it to not fail, because love, real love never fails, you know, and if you work at it, you know, it can be ongoing and, you know, and consistent and whatever else, you know, you just got to work at it pretty much.
All right. Next relationship rumor, our mates will always understand us. Pastor Charlene, how true is that in your you know, opinion?
No. For me, no, because men don't always understand, because we're so emotional. So what they can try to do is to help in that process of whatever that you're going through, and being there, knowing that I'm here for you, you know, but you will have to guide me to what you actually need. And that goes back to having those conversations of when I'm feeling this way or I'm going through this, I need you to. So my answer would be no.
Okay, okay. Tamika, is it true our mates will always understand us?
Absolutely not. No two people, I don't care who they are, they never, ever see eye to eye all the time. And so with that in mind, you have to have an individual who's adult enough to say, you know, I don't really agree or I don't see it your way. However, you know, and also understand, respect each other's feelings. Because my thing is, if you don't agree and you see it a different way, help me to see it in your way. And vice versa, you know, I'll help you to see it my way. So we may not necessarily agree, you know, but that doesn't mean that we have to be disagreeable. We can be amicable and still have two different viewpoints.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, our mates will always understand us, agree or disagree?
I totally disagree on that one. You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time, I know definitely in the young stages or when you're young, spend a lot of time in a relationship saying, no, you don't understand, no, you don't understand, no, you don't understand, no, you don't understand, and going back and forth. And a lot of times, too, even in regular conversation, it's, you know, because some people listen to respond. You understand? Then you have, you know, the narcissist who they never going to be wrong. You get what I'm saying to you? So that's definitely not true. Some people only listen to respond. They're never going to try to comprehend what you're saying. So that's definitely not true. No
okay.
way. Jose.
Okay. All right. Brother Al.
I would say no, you're not going to always understand your mate. You know, sometimes people look at, you know, sometimes your mate feel that because you disagree, oh, you just don't understand me. No, I understand. I just disagree. So you have that situation as well where the person just say, well, because you don't agree with the person or the situation, they just automatically feel, oh, you just don't understand me. And you don't know, I do understand, but I disagree. So there's always going to be that disagreeing in there, but then there's a thing of respect. Okay, respecting. Okay, you disagree. I respect that. We should be able to talk about it and move forward with it. So there's always going to be that disagreement. Or you're not going to understand something because everybody takes things a little differently. Somebody would take something different than the way you would or respond different than the way you would. So I would say, yeah, I disagree with that.
Okay, okay, okay. Ah, relationship rumor. Our soulmate, or our mate, will complete us. Our mate will complete us. Tamika.
When you say that, it kind of sounds like, okay, so I was born a piece of something before you came along. God made me create. You know, he created me whole. And so I was complete before you came into my life. And I will continue to be complete with or without you. The blessing is with you being in my life. You know, you can enhance who I already am, and I can enhance who you already are. So I believe that I was complete or whole in the very beginning.
All right, all right. Minister AJ, is it true that our mate will complete us? Agree or disagree?
I totally disagree. You know, you have to learn how to become whole and complete before you get into a relationship or a marriage, companionship or whatever. If you have two incomplete people, it's not going to make a whole. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because even one person may want you to spend all the time on helping them be complete and vice versa. So you need to learn how to be complete by yourself, learn how to do things on your own, excuse me, definitely before you get married, because they're not going to complete you. If there were issues there before that are not dealt with, guess what? It's only going to carry on and make the relationship worse. Because everybody don't have the patience to deal with your incompleteness.
Wow. Ooh, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say yes to that. And the reason I say yes is because, you know, people can say I'm whole, I'm this, this, and that. And it's just like anything else. That piece of the puzzle come along and help you out. And I'm speaking from experience on myself. When I had my fiance before she passed away, she changed my whole life around and made me who the person I am today. Because sometimes we in our own thing, we say, oh yeah, we complete and we this, 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 and that. And you got everybody around you not liking you, but you think you're not doing anything wrong. You know, for instance, for me, I didn't realize how stubborn I was until I met this woman. I didn't think I was stubborn. I didn't think I was stubborn at all. I've heard it a couple of times, but then when this woman came into my life and I sat back and I saw how the stubbornness would upset her at times, I said, wow, let me sit back and learn. Let me listen to what she's saying. And it made me more humble. It made me humble to say, wow, you know what? Wow, I am stubborn and it's causing an issue. I need to change that. So for me, I think, yes, you know, you find that soulmate, it will help you be complete. It will help you see things a little bit different that you may not want to see, or you, hey, listen, I ain't doing nothing. Nah, these people crazy. I ain't wrong. And then when you meet that person that you really love and care about, you're able to sit back and humble yourself and listen and be like, wow, you know what? I am stubborn. I need to change this. This causes an issue. So for me, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And Pastor Sharlin.
I would say no. But I will say that, you know, because we all should become whole when we come into a relationship. But I will say that, you know, the other person will help pull some things out of you that you might never experienced, or you might thought that wasn't correct. I mean, you thought that was correct and that it wasn't, meaning of how to, as we were saying, of loving, of how to be able to experience, you might have wanted to do something and they will push you there. But as far as your own personal, I think that's you, your job to make you be able to be made whole and to be able to receive the other person. Like, you know, it's like a string, you know, if you a little chip on a string and it's only a piece of it holding, that person, if you wrap it around, it's going to pull you away. So to help you be able to stand on some things that you might not experience before, but far as being whole in yourself, only Jesus.
Okie dokie. True love lasts forever. That's a little different than the first one we started off with. True love lasts forever. The next relationship rumor, Minister AJ, do you agree?
Do true love last forever? This is a tough one. I mean, wow, true love lasts forever.
What's said in the clinic? What happens in the counseling sessions?
Listen, clinic is definitely crazy on this one, because a lot of times you think you have true love and you think you really love a person, and a person can have a way of taking you through some things that'll make you go the opposite way on what you thought you did, you know what I mean, or how you really thought you loved them. So, you know, my question is it really true love? But I think when you really truly love a person, it does last forever. You know, it'll be in your heart, it'll be in your spirit, and it's not going nowhere. And even if it means that you've got to walk away from that person so you don't hurt no more, but you'll still love them. True love. So
okay.
I'm going with you.
Okay. Brother Al, does true love last forever?
Yes, I'm definitely going to say yes to that. While we was talking about this, I saw a story one time, which I'll make it really short. It was two elderly couples. The man was 90 and the wife was 92. They've been married for 60 years. And I don't know what happened, but they decided to go drive and they got into a bad car accident. And they both was hurt pretty bad and went to the hospital. And the husband was like, no, the wife was like, I want to be in the same room with my husband. So they wheeled her over there. And she reached over and grabbed his hand. When she grabbed his hand, he wasn't breathing. No, they couldn't understand why this man still was, heart was beating. His heart was beating. And he wasn't breathing, no pulse, but his heart was still beating as she held his hand. And then she passed away. When she passed away and let his hand go, his heart stopped beating. And I was like, wow, that's deep right there. So I'm going to say, yes, if you really got true love, that lasts forever. Because that means true love is unconditional love as well. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay, okay, okay. Pastor Charlotte, relationship rumor, true love lasts forever. Is that true in your opinion?
Well, my first thought was true love. What I might think is, and what the other person might think, it might be too different of true love. But I think that when you love somebody, the true love will be that even when we're not together or we, you know, that I still have that love for you. Not that, you know, for us to be together, but I will always be there for you. I will always, you know, be a part of your life, even if it did not work. So that's the only true love that I, you know, actually thought about.
Okay, okay.
But I like that Tamika. Story, Brother Al. I like that story.
Tamika, true love lasts forever. Would you agree?
It was kind of funny. When you first brought the topic up, I thought immediately of relationships, and it kind of pushed me on the fence. But then I took it out of that context, and I looked at mother and father, you know, parent to child relationship. You know, sometimes we as the children can do things to break mommy and daddy's heart. However, they never stop loving, you know. They try their best to put their best foot forward, considering the fact that their child is spazzing out. And so they show love, and it doesn't stop. You know, you mess up, you know, you call dad, and dad is trying to fix stuff. You know, and he never stops, you know, mom never stops, you know, and even if that relationship is severed, that emotion is still there. And so I'm going to stay on the lines of true love. It doesn't stop. It never fails. It never stops.
Okay. So that's parental love for this particular conversation. And thank you for, you know, responding to that. For this particular conversation, we're talking about intimacy. Intimate love, a love between a man and a woman. What's your thought on whether true love lasts forever?
I think it does. You know, even though relationships, for whatever reason, you know, the person, you know, their mentality is different or the way that they do things, that doesn't change the way that you feel. Yes, you hurt me. I can't be around you to protect myself. You know, however, the emotion still resides, and I do believe that it does last.
Okay, all righty. Well, back to you, Brother Al. Your true love will love all of you. What's your thought? Your true love will love all of you.
You know, I'm gonna say yes to that. I love you, but I might not like something that you do. But I think that can go that way. You know, I love you, I really do. But you know, when you start doing such and such, and I ain't too fond of that, so I'm gonna say yes to that.
All righty. Pastor Charlotte, listen to the words. Your true love will love all of you. Would you agree or disagree?
I'm still a real struggling. My true love will love all of me. Okay, even in my faults, he still loves me. Even when they don't care for what you said, or you'll still love me. So, yes. I'm looking on the Jesus side. Yes.
Say that again, Pastor Sharlene. Let me make sure I got you right. Say it again.
My true love will love me even with my faults. True love will love me even if they disagree with what I've done or even say, but they will still love me.
Okay, so you and Brother Al have not caught what this says, and because you actually answered in the opposite way. Let me hear what everybody else says, and then I'll come back. That's why I asked you for clarification. Tamika, what you got? Let me say it again.
I think I might be for. I'm listening.
Your true love will love all of you.
I think I might be falling where the other two are, you know.
Okay, we'll find out.
I love you, you know. I love your good and bad. But there are times when there's something that I may not necessarily like about you. Whether it's the way you stir your tea, whether it's, you know, the way you sleep, you know, a certain something. But I do love you. In whole, I do love you. I just don't like certain things that you say or do.
Okay, so you went where they went. Let's see what happens with Minister AJ. Minister AJ, I'm going to read it to you. Your true love will love all of you.
No. I'm going the opposite way. No. If that was the case, more relationships would be relationships would be perfect. If, you know, if we loved everything, you know, the whole you and everything about you, there would be no, the word compromise wouldn't exist in relationships. So I'm going to go with no on that. You ain't going to love everything. You ain't going to love all of me.
Minister AJ caught it. Listen to what it says. Your true love will love all of you. He said it. That means that whether there's no good, there is no bad. I'm just going to like Ariel's thing. Because there are some people who believe that once you fall in love, that you're just going to love everything about a person. You're not going to see any bad. Mm-hmm. And the three of you have spoken about seeing some bad stuff in someone but still loving them. And that's different than you're loving everything about them. And I purposely did not change the wording because I wanted to make sure it was just the way it was in the you know, on the site. Do all of you get what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
Sure
wow.
do.
You, all righty. All
I
right.
got it.
So,
yes, I got it.
Okay, so yeah. Minister AJ Cordy, there just for some reason, some people believe that once you fall in love, there's just nothing you're going to not like about a person. And, you know, there's some truth to that, yes or no. I'm not going to say anything yes because I'm not giving my closing yet. But I do have one more. And let me see. I skipped one purposely. Come back to it. Okay. It says, there is someone out there who's completely compatible with us. Listen to the wording. There is someone out there who's completely compatible with us. Pastor Charlotte.
I would say no, not completely. I think that there would be some things that you still would have to work together on to agree. So my answer would be no.
Okay. Tamika, let me read it again to make sure everybody understands, not just you, but the listeners. Excuse me. There is someone out there who's completely compatible with us.
I'm sorry. There's nobody on the face of this earth that's completely physically compatible. You know, just, you know, for instance, I'm athletic, you know, and in relationships, you know, if one person is athletic and the other one is not, you know, one person likes basketball, the other person likes football, and you have to work on, you know, trying to make that work, you know. That's a daily effort. And nobody has it all right when you first, oh, I'm in love, and now everything that I've ever thought of, everything that I've ever dreamed of, you like. That's definitely not the thing. And each person has to decide, you know, what it is that they want to give on. And, you know, it's a give and take thing.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, there is someone out there who's completely compatible with us.
No way, you know, not even twins or triplets. No, no way. There's never going to be somebody who is completely compatible with you. There's always going to be some differences, some similarities, but nah. And you really, really get somebody who is really compatible with you, you know, a lot of the time. So I'm going to go with no on that. You know, some people adapt to what you like, but compatible, no, absolutely not.
All righty. And Brother Al, you have the final word today. There is someone out there who's completely compatible with us. Relationship rumor, true or false?
That's false. You know, I mean, you will have some similarities, or some may like some of the things that you like, but completely compatible? No, not at all. Not at all.
All righty. I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through on these relationship rumors, whether they're lies or not, and shedding some light on it for us. You've done a fantastic job today, and I pray you have a blessed and wonderful day.
You do the
same.
Enjoy the
day.
You as
thank
well.
You.
Everybody
thank
have
you.
A great
thank
one.
You. Thank you. All righty. Nice conversation to help shed some light on the things that we think in life and find out whether it's true or false or not. Well, we've come down to the time of the hour on our Monday morning where we get our switch tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And today we're going to talk about something that I've been noticing, especially, you know, before the pandemic, when we would periodically, because we didn't do it too often, but periodically go and visit other churches. And there was one church we went to go visit, and I forgot what the theme was, but pretty much you had to give your testimony. You were asked to give your testimony. You were asked to, what kind of enemy is trying to work? You asked to give your testimony. You were asked to, you know, I forgot what it was, but pretty much say what was going on. And there was about maybe four or five people who got up and was giving their quote-unquote testimony. And as everyone is talking, I'm sitting there looking around, and I'm like, okay, is it just me, or are they not really saying anything? Because all I heard was the repetitive giving glory to God, who is ahead of my life, and God has brought me from such a mighty long way, and he has, you know, brought me through so much, and my past was crazy. And I'm just like, who in here can't say the same thing? That's not what I understood a testimony to be. Now, I understand that there are times I can be a little more open than people expect, but I thought a testimony was supposed to be something personal. So I looked up the definition of testimony, right? And it is to tell the story of how you became a Christian or to tell the story about how God moved you from life to death or sharing your personal experience. So there's nothing personal about giving the blanket, God brought me through a lot and my past was crazy. Everybody can say that. So our switch tip 68 is share your story. So it brought me to Psalm 107, verses 2 through 8 in the Message version, which reads, all of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from all oppression, then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half-starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling, on the brink of exhaustion. Then, in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. And you actually should read that whole chapter, Psalm 107, because it doesn't end there, but that's why I'm ending it, because it speaks on, like, you having to reflect on the personal things that he brought you out of. And I'm just really not understanding how I can say that I'm going to stand up and give my testimony, but all I'm going to say is God brought me a mighty long way. That is saying the complete opposite of what these verses just said. And, of course, it reminded me of one of my favorite verses, because, you know, I'm big on us not being dry Christians, meaning us being bland and whack and boring. Luke 14, 34 through 35, New King James Version reads, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I can't speak for everybody else, but you done lost your flavor with me. Your seasoning with me. You seem very bland if you voluntarily stand up and give this blanket explanation. I'm not even going to call it a testimony because we read what a testimony is. It's telling the story of how you became a Christian, telling the story about how God moved you from life to death, sharing your personal experience. And we cannot do that, the emphasis on you and your, we can't do that if we're not being specific. And we have to understand that God did not bring us out of death to life. He did not give us those personal experiences. He did not allow us to make it through our story for us to keep it to ourselves and not share it. Now, I don't mean stand up on a mountaintop and, you know, give the sermon like Jesus did. It could be a lot of one-on-ones. But it's so that we can now make that declaration to other people so that they can now ultimately pay attention to how God is writing their personal story, so now they can share with someone else. It's all about being disciples, bringing others. You cannot bring people to God without being specific. It's whack. Trust me. It don't work. I don't care if you're a young Christian or if you're an old Christian, especially if you're a young Christian. This is why a lot of young Christians leave church and why a lot of young people ain't interested in church at all, because it's bland. There's no salt. There's no seasoning. So let's make the conscious decision to make the switch from being general to making sure that we're doing our part, doing what God is leaving us here to do, doing what God is waking us up every morning to do, and making sure that we're sharing our story. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Oh, thank you, Shantice. Thank you for your switch tip. Your switch tip. Let me make sure. What? Give us the title of the switch tip again, please.
Share your story.
Okay. Okay, G, your story. Thank you very much. We pray that you have a blessed day. All right, so, you know, we have a verse here that says, it made me go look up. Of the verse, it says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, our particular testimony. You know, our testimony is personal and it's given to us so that it can change. It can change lives. It can change the things that are done in other people's lives because they see that you've triumphed. So, you know, I remember the particular testimony that Shantice is referring to. And to be a little more precise than she was, you know, they were testifying about how they got to a particular point. And, you know, like she said, everybody who kind of stood up, it wasn't an authentic story, you know. So when you stand up, they weren't giving generic testimony. I think I could have lived with it if they were giving generic testimony, but they weren't. They were supposed to be giving testimony as to how they arrived at this point. And the testimonies were not, you know, they weren't moving. And I'm sure that they were chosen because they did have a story to tell that could have helped to change a life, that could have shown that they defeated the enemy. And in actuality, she's right. It was like, oh, okay. What was that? Okay, look. So when you stand up to give your testimony, again, it is supposed to be, you know, something that you are celebrating, but something that is supposed to be life-changing, you know, for another person. You know, even in the slightest way, a person could say, you know what, I see how they got there. Or I see how they're so, no, this is not our subscription. This is not what we're saying it should be. It's based on what the Bible is saying it should be. You know, we stand up. It's not just to talk. We're standing up to tell of God's goodness and how we can, you know, it shaped our life and how it could potentially shape yours. So I definitely, that scripture just came to mind. We've come to the point where we are holding hands and holding hearts. And let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for this Monday morning. We thank you for seeing the rising of the sun today. Even if it's overcast with rain, even if it's overcast with clouds, but we are seeing a brand new day. And how can we say thank you for loving us so much that despite of, you know, what we've done and despite of how we've spoken and what we've thought and, you know, we could be doing better, that you still saw fit to open up our eyes and let us see a brand new day and giving us another opportunity to get it right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, God, that despite what happened, you're helping us today to shape whatever blues there might be that lasted just a moment too long. You know, your word says that there's a time and a season for everything. And despite the fact that there is a period of time that we've given to, you know, to cry, we've also been given a period of time to laugh. And we don't want the enemy to have any victory in our life where we're giving him a whole day, where we're giving him hours of time, because these times belong to you. And if we feel ourselves going in an opposite direction of being okay, of being in peace, in having rest and comfort, that we would reach out to you, God, because your word says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we thank you, God, for just offering. Thank you, God, for offering. Thank you, God, for offering. You did not have to make anything available to us, but we're thanking you, God, for everything that's being done in our life that helps us to get to that next level. Thank you, God, for just providing our needs, all the necessities you said you would provide. And then on top of that, you've given us some bonuses. We say thank you to that too. God, we're going to ask you today to touch our heart.
that when someone is doing us wrong and when we're being mistreated and when we know we should be, you know, handled differently and treated better, that we reach out to you. We don't seek vengeance. We're not overly bitter, that we could find forgiveness in our hearts to just make you happy with our lifestyles, to do what is pleasing in your sight despite it all. We know, God, that times are going to come. We know people are going to come. But we're asking you, God, that you keep us from becoming some of these people that we hear about, how they take matters into their own hands. We ask you, God, to just hold on to us. Even when we think about straying away from you, God, we're just asking you to just stand before us to prevent us from entering certain areas, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, because you've been so good and you've been a man of your word. You have kept every one of your promises. Thank you, Father. And we pray, God, that every minister here today would remember you first before we even tap into our own minds, before we tap into our own hearts, before we tap into our own spirits, that we would remember that you have already set the precedent as to how we need to behave, how we need to think and consider things, how we need to speak, and that we would put you first and foremost before ourselves. We ask you, God, to touch every listener, that they would not just be a hearer, but that they would be a doer, that they would take every bit of what was said, God, and that they would apply it to their life, that the healing that they need to receive, that they would lean to you to get the healing, because it doesn't come from anywhere else but you, and that we will not fail to give you the glory and honor so rightly through your name for bringing us out of each and every bad place we are, each and every place where we are that is not where we need to be, that we would hold your hand and never let you go. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah, what a conversation today. You know, we've talked about relationship rumors, and we may have covered even some of these things before, but you know what? The Word of God says keep these things ever before them. You know, the first thing was real love never fades. Well, 1 Corinthians 13 says so. Love never ends. And that's real love. And the love that never ends is God's love. You know, it's we can't apply our love to this equation and then say it will never end, because we don't have the capacity to love unconditionally if we don't have God in our life. We don't have the capacity to put things on the side and be forgiving if not for God. We don't have the capability of, you know, just accepting things and just saying, you know what, well, you know, just because I didn't see it that way, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe there's, you know, something that I can get out of this. We don't have that. We, all the wonderful things we talked about doing, all the wonderful things we talk about having, that's not a solo project. We can't do that by ourselves. No, sorry. We can't. We don't have the capability. But with God, all things are possible. You know, there was a split when it came to, you know, whether our mate completes us or not. You cannot take a piece of a person into a relationship. You know, God, that's God's job to complete us. It is not man's job to complete us. There is nowhere that's written here in this Bible. Even when God sent Eve to Adam, because he said man should not be alone, He did not send Adam, someone to complete him. He sent Adam a helpmate, someone to help and assist, to bring out the best in you, to help you see how great things are in you that you don't see yourself. When everyone else has beat you down, even your parents sometimes have beat you down, that, you know, you can have that assistant right there beside you that helps to make you that better person. But don't misunderstand it to be that person completing you, because that's not our assignment. Our assignment is not to complete one another. The helpmate has been designed to do just that. So, you know, sometimes when a woman walks into a man's life and she thinks she's supposed to be completing him, she's got the wrong concept as well. Know your place. Go before the Lord, and he will help you know where you belong in this man's life and what you're supposed to do. So, you know what? You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about things that you need, things that a man needs before he enters a relationship. So if it was a matter of the woman completing the man or the man completing the woman, because by the same token, there are certain things that a woman has to take into a relationship, needs to have before she enters into a relationship. If it was, if that was the case that they completed, then we wouldn't need to have a whole lot of things. So our job is to assist, ladies. Our job is not to complete. So know your place. And if you get a little twisted and a little confused, as always, your knees and Jesus, they can help you get the job done. You know, I always say the Bible itself helps us to please or know how to, you know, work with a man, a woman. But God alone will teach you how to work and what your man or your woman needs, because it's not a cookie cutter thing. Everybody is different, and everybody does not provide the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same thing. Everybody won't need the same thing. Everybody's not at the same place when you meet them. Yeah, this is an intimate, up close and personal thing that God will use us to help enhance who that individual is. And if we're looking to be more than an enhancement, then we're out of line. And we don't ever want to be out of an alignment with God. So that's why we need to stay right before the Lord, so that the Lord can continue to order our steps and let us know exactly what we need to do and how we need to get it done. Make no mistake. You'll find out if these relationship rumors are true. Just go seek the Lord. But our due time crew did a fantastic job today. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down today, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening. I pray that you will not only be a hearer, but that you will be a doer. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, God spare our life. I love you. You!